Open your Bibles to the book of James, chapter 1. And in your bulletin, you have a special invite card to bring someone to next Sunday's family day. And again, we've got gifts for everyone present. Everyone will be touched by the gift that we give next week. So be part of that. And even the kids are having a special block party in Take 5. So, you know, if adult service doesn't sound like your thing, maybe Dara will let you in kids' church next week. James chapter 1, look at verse 19. Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Lord, thank you for the word that we have. Pray that, God, you would begin to lodge your truth in our hearts, Lord, in a way that we'll walk out of this place ready for life, ready to communicate to people that we have deep relationship with and others that we have more casual acquaintance with in our lives. Thank you, Father God, that you've laid it on us to be people that are salt and light in the world. We speak truth with love. We declare, God, your redeeming activity for a lost world. We're supposed to edify one another, encourage the hurting, lift up the downcast. And Lord, we can't do that without communication. I pray, Lord, not just today, but throughout the series, you would help us to renew our conversation. Thank you, Father God, for this morning and what you've laid on my heart. God, thank you for what you've already laid on the hearts of our staff that will be sharing and teaching this series. And I pray, God, your presence would attend Christian Life Assembly in a very tangible, powerful way over the next four Sundays. We thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So this whole year, our purpose is to pursue renewal. And so we're looking every month at aspects of your life, aspects of the life of this church, as well as your individual life, the idea of being renewed. And so for the first month of the year, January, we just finished a series on renewing your faith. And today we want to turn our attention into how we communicate better, how we communicate with our families, our children, our parents, with one another as a spiritual family. How we communicate to other followers of Christ and people that aren't followers of Christ. So I want you to listen. That's really the goal and the heart of this message, is that we learn to listen. Now next week, again, is our Family Sunday, and I think it's a perfect day to invite your friends and family, but it's also going to be great because Mary, my wife, and our spiritual community pastor will be speaking. And she's also kind of the one that makes our home run. Isn't that right, Rachel? When mommy's not present, I mean, things just don't get done. So she'll be here, and she has a great word next week. But today we're going to learn how to be great listeners. You can't be a great conversationist and be too quick with your mouth. So let's dive into this. And to start off, I'm going to ask you a really honest question. I'm going to ask you to be very honest with yourself and with everyone. How well do I listen? Now, there's a scale of 1 to 10. 1 is being wretched. You're tanking big time. You really need to improve your listening, or, like, you know, the heavens are going to fall if you don't. Or you're awesome. You're a 10 and you're killing it. But if you were being honest with yourself, how would you rate yourself? Now, I already know something that's been happening in this room. When you saw that question, you're thinking, yeah, but how well does my spouse listen? Right? Or how well does my friend listen? How well does my child listen? How many parents, everyone? How well does my child listen? You know what your kids are wondering? I wish my parents would listen better. So, in our house this week, we conducted a Ritter, not a Twitter poll, but a Ritter poll. Because I wanted, you know, I thought if I'm going to ask you to be honest, I better be willing to do the same. And so we did this in our home last week, and on the way to school one day, I asked Rachel, I said, Rachel, I'm taking this survey. I want to know, Darwin, rate me, 1 to 10, how well do I listen? And now, listen, Rachel loves me. She knows that she's my favorite daughter. And she's the object of my affection, you know, as my one and only child. And so I wasn't afraid of her response so much. I, you know, first thing that morning on the way to school, Darwin, how well do I listen? She thought for about 2 seconds, she said 7. I thought, well, let's just end the day. Let's just go ahead that's what a great day. It's hard to beat letting your child say, you do pretty well in this area. So I thought, great. I wasn't afraid of her response. But there's another member of the family. And so I kept putting it off and putting it off. And it was funny. Mary and I, we're the swim coaches for Burlington Christian Academy. And we had a meet that afternoon. And I usually drive the bus, and I left my wallet. And I couldn't drive the bus. Mary had to drive. And so I thought, well, you know, maybe I'll just hold off asking because she's going to be stressed and, you know. But about almost getting to the other school for the meet, Rachel said, have you asked Mommy the question yet? So I couldn't put it off anymore. And so I said, okay, Mary, would you rate me as a listener? And her response blew me away. I mean, I was prepared to be torpedoed. Right? But she must have been really distracted or something. She gave me an answer that was even better than Rachel. So, which is surprising, because how often have you ever heard in your marriage, you never listen to me? I've heard that before. You're not paying attention. So I want you to ask this question about yourself, all right? But I also want you to ask other people close to you to rate you. Now, don't answer for the other person, okay? Don't do that. But how many would rate yourself a 5 or above? Raise your hands. Wow, that's pretty good. Now you know what that answer reveals. Those who raised your hand, look it around the people that didn't. Right? Look it around. I'm kidding. But thanks for being honest. That's important that we understand this, because life-giving communication requires the wisdom of active listening. It's hard to have a healthy relationship if you're not a good listener. And so we want communication that gives life to people. We want it in our homes. We want it in our marriages. And if you've been at CLA for more than one Sunday, I think you can say that you hear the term a lot here, spiritual family. We intentionally want to be spiritual family. That's what the Bible describes in terms of the body of Christ. And so we want to do things better in terms of the way that we communicate. We want to speak truth. We want to care for one another. But you can't complete the conversation if you don't listen well. And so that's something we have to be mindful of when it comes to how we are growing in our walk with Jesus. Are we being better listeners? And you've been there. Especially if you're married, you've been there. Especially if you have children right now, teenagers or younger. And you know what it's like when someone's not listening. You know how hard that creates communication. So as long as you know where I'm coming from, let's dive into this. Now, we started in James, and James is a very Old Testament themed book. It talks a lot about how the church behaves in lens of Old Testament ideas. And so you come to chapter 1, And the first thing that James says is what? Be quick to hear. Be quick to listen. And so before we look into James, let's dive back into the Old Testament to get a handle on how the people of James's day would have understood that. This imperative of being a good listener. So look at Proverbs chapter 18, and we'll start there. Because listening has everything to do with spiritual health. Listening has everything to do with spiritual maturity. And here's what the writer of Proverbs chapter 18, verse 13 says. He says, if anyone gives an answer before he hears, it is his folly and shame. Listening is a key to wisdom. It's a key to maturity. And in the Bible, listening is a moral issue. It's not about personality. It's about the kind of person you are at your core. Are you a good listener? And so, according to Proverbs, it's the difference. If you're a good listener, it can be the difference between being a wise person or a foolish person. Acting in a wise way or a foolish way. It's the difference between being considered wise by others or being considered foolish by others. So, the scripture says, those who respond or give an answer before listening, that's a folly. In other words, it's foolish. Or it's shame. The more severe meaning of the word shame is disgraced. In fact, you could flip it, and the people of the Old Testament would understand, a person that lives their life in disgrace because of bad choices, that person was not a good listener. That's the idea. And you notice it's the person that speaks, the one who gives an answer. They do so not before they think. How many understand? You know, some people need to think before they speak. What is the writer of Proverbs saying? The issue here is, before you speak, you need to listen. You need to listen. And it's not specific to listening to just instruction from the Bible. This is kind of a universal idea. It's not just listening to your Sunday school teacher or listening to a Bible teacher. It has to do with everything. It has to do with an employee who listens to an employer's instruction. It has to do with a child listening to a parent. It has to do with a friend who doesn't listen to what another person tells them before they jump in with advice giving. It's about a parent who doesn't listen to their child. In any case, the person that doesn't listen is not going to reflect wisdom. Speaking too soon, he says, leads to shame. Words that are spoken before listening are always premature. It's a folly. It's a disgrace. It's called the Mishnah. It's like the earliest Jewish commentary on the Old Testament. It was written, a collection of rabbinical writings that kind of interpreted what the scriptures mean. And so in the Mishnah, it lists that characteristic. The person that doesn't listen is an uncultured person. They don't fit so well in their culture. They don't behave in a right way. And I would go so far as to say this, listening, a person that doesn't listen is a person who lives their life out of step with people around them. We could say they live their life out of context. They don't know what's going on. Now, can you imagine the person that behaves like they know everything? They know every, you can't tell them a thing. Now, you understand this? They present themselves as wise, you know, but they do some of the most foolish things. That's the idea. A person that doesn't listen can be that kind of person. They're living their life out of step with the world around. They're living their life out of context. Turn to Proverbs chapter 1. There's another nugget of truth in this book about listening. Proverbs 1 verse 5. He says, let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance. So by contrast, a wise person is someone that is not threatened by listening. A wise person who has solid convictions from the word and knows how to apply it, that's the person that listens really well. That's the person that's secure. Let me ask you this. Would you be content being a fool? Probably not. No, you want your life lived in context. You want your life lived in wisdom. So that requires us to be listeners, people that are attentive and intentional about listening. Now, I know what happens, and this happens a lot in life. It happens in the home. It happens in the workplace. It happens at school. It happens online. That when someone expresses their opinion, like, I can have a visceral reaction to that, you know? It can be in politics, it can be in sports, it can be in the local news, it can be in pop culture, it can be almost any realm where there's a difference of opinion with me, then I feel this visceral reaction to step into it and do what? Speak. Not listen. In fact, if we were to go back to Proverbs 18, verse 13, we could almost say this: if one gives an answer before he hears, we could also say if someone posts before they hear. But it's a key to wisdom and a key to learning. You have to be a listener. You want to learn something about your spouse, you need to listen. You want to learn something about your child, you need to listen. You understand what's really going on in the context of what your child is walking through or what your spouse is feeling in this season of life? Or maybe what some people that work next to you are experiencing in their life. The way to relate to them contextually is to listen first to what's going on. You want to learn something about a coworker, you got to listen. You want to understand about what another person from another culture, another race is experiencing or how they view the world? It's hard to understand if you don't listen. So let the wise listen and add to their learning. It all starts with listening. Mouth shut, ears open. Am I listening? That's why we say life-giving communication requires the wisdom of active listening. So go back to James, because James talks about how important it is to listen in a way to live with emotional balance. How to manage your emotions is something that requires listening. So look at James chapter 1 again. Know this, my beloved brothers, let everyone be quick to hear. Underline that phrase. Quick to hear. But also slow to speak and slow to anger. Now, the word quick comes from a Greek word, tachos, and we get the word tachometer from that. You know what a tachometer does? It measures the velocity or how fast an engine is working, basically. So the idea is that listening quickly is a gauge of how wise you are. That's what James says. My brothers, let every person be quick to hear. You want to find a spiritually mature person? You can measure their maturity by how quick they listen, how they yield to what's being said. That's the idea. Be quick to listen. Now listen, we hear all the time, don't we? I mean, we're hearing stuff now. And I don't just mean here. You're hearing this? You might be hearing some things that are happening through the walls in kids' church. Or you might be hearing the drone of the traffic outside. I mean, hearing is like a physical reality for almost everybody. We're hearing the drone of traffic or the ceiling fan at night. We're hearing all the time. But you understand? When you listen, you bring what's in the background to the foreground. It's intentional. Right? The background is, darling, take out the garbage. That's background. That's happening way back here. Right? Way back here. It's in the background. It's noise. If you're honest, it's noise. It's only when I'm intentionally listening to what's being said to me that we move from hearing to listening. So the idea is that we're quick to listen. We're intentional. We're attentive. You make sure that you pay attention to what's being said. But the second phrase you see there is be slow to speak. Now be quick when it comes to listening. Put your attention on listening to what's being said. The person in front of you, the person that's speaking to you, before you make a quick judgment about what they believe or what they think or something different about their culture or their race or ethnicity or whatever, make sure that you listen. Be quick to do that. But be slow to speak. Be slow to speak. It's a companion of the first. You can't listen carefully while you're talking. Or even while you think about what to say. And this happens in conversation all the time. When we're listening to what someone else has said, how many have found yourself, you forgot what that person was saying because you're thinking about what you're getting ready to say? That response that says, how do I respond to this? They're talking. And everything within me is wanting to talk. I'm struggling with listening. But the writer says, James, be slow to speak. So think. Be slow to speak, slow to spout off, slow to tweet, slow to comment, slow to post. Slow to opine. Be slow. And finally, be slow to anger. Anger is a very natural emotion. And I would say that in our culture, anger is almost a virtue today. I have the right to be offended. I have the right to spout off. I have the right to be heard. I want to tell you something. There can be a big difference between speaking truth and love and being offended and having unfiltered mouths. So James is saying, okay, the way you relate to one another, make sure that you're quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. And the word anger here is the word that doesn't, it's not the explosive outburst of temper. It's that cauldron that we allow to begin to stir on the inside of us. The more I think about it, the angrier I get. The more I meditate on it, the worse it ticks me off. And it's like this slow boil of vengeance and rage and, you know what I mean? That's the kind of anger that James is talking about. And he says, be slow to become angry that way. You can't live your life in emotional health if you're relationally disconnected because you didn't listen well. Slow your emotions, slow your pride, slow your capacity to be offended. Listen first. And listening is the key to resolving anger. Verse 20 says, because human anger doesn't produce the righteousness that God desires. It's real quiet in here today. I hope you're listening, right? But when we spout off before we listen, you know what's not being revealed in us? Jesus. Listen, you can speak truth in anger, and that's not what God wants. He wants truth spoken how? In compassion and love and deep care for the person. Listen, God's word is not an instrument of zinging people. It's meant to convert. It's meant to change. It's meant to be redemptive. So we have to balance that. And believe me, there are a lot of things in this culture that make me angry. There are a lot of things I don't like. There are lifestyle choices that I think are foolish. There are things that people live and the way they think and the way they treat others. I don't want them touching my daughter, influencing how she thinks. But you understand this? It doesn't give me a license to go overboard in my anger. And I have to manage that. And James says, listen first. When I don't listen and I let my anger take control, it shines a light on my own insecurity. It's shining a light on my fears. It shines a light on my frustrations, on my hurts. So, I know you've heard people say before, I am just totally offended. I am just outrageously offended. Well, you know what one of the cures is for that? Be slow to anger by first being quick to listen. Take it in. You want to know how we get beyond a life that's constantly lived in the ticked off category? Listen. Be slow to speak. Why is this important? Why is it important that we lean into listening to others? It's because life-giving communication requires the wisdom of active listening. Now let's apply this. And we'll keep it just relationally. Let's talk about this. I love Ted Cunningham. I've really begun to love his writing and his books. And he gives four conversation killers. All right? Four things that just kill conversation. And they all have to do with being too quick to speak and too slow to listen. He says, number one, the first conversation killer is screaming, yelling, and arguing. I think that's kind of funny. You want to kill a conversation? Just raise your voice and get all up in their business. I don't struggle with this one. But you know how others struggle with this. They're talking, they're halfway through, and I'm like, I got it, right? Here's what you need to do. I'm not usually the person that just blows up, but blowing up, understand that kills the conversation. Screaming, yelling, arguing. Be quiet, listen, let them finish sharing. Listen, if your husband or your child comes to you, this will clue you in that you need to slow down, all right? When they say, let me finish. That's a pretty good clue. Oh, I've got something to tell you. Go ahead, sweetheart. Yeah, you know, listen, I heard that before. No, Dad, let me finish. Let me finish. Number two, solving someone's problems before they finish sharing. I do struggle with this one. No, instead, be quiet, listen, let them finish sharing. Let them finish explaining and talking it out. Number three, another conversation killer is where we turn everything into a life lesson. I struggle with this too. I think moms and dads particularly can have an issue with this. Because, you know, with some, we see our kids and they're learning to balance themselves in life. When your kid was walking for the first time, did you have a hard time with it, your first child? And they're kind of scooting around the coffee table. Oh no, they're gonna fall. They're gonna hit their head on the back of the coffee table, and blood's gonna be everywhere, and they're gonna be in jeopardy. And I can't let them fall, right? That's a natural parenting response. And so when you see your child struggling emotionally, carrying some issues coming from school or sports or whatever, the idea is that I want to let me get in there. And the one way we do that, as they get older, we turn everything into a life lesson. And so they're talking about some feelings they're experiencing, and what do we begin to launch into? Yeah, you know, that happened to me in school. Let me tell you how I dealt with it. Or then we think, wait, I'm a good listener. I'm going to let them finish. And so when they're done, we say, well, what do you take away from that? And it's not on their radar that there's anything to learn here, right? You know what they want? They want you to listen. They just want you to listen. I got to tell you, parents, if we turn everything into a life lesson, people start sharing less. You'll find this with some of the older adults in your life. If you're constantly looking for a way to insert advice giving, you know what people begin to do to you? Oh, how you doing? I'll see you tomorrow, right? Everybody's not looking for advice. People are just looking to be heard. I'm just simply trying to point a few things out. Number four is the way we kill conversation is we immediately try to relate to it. Now, I'm particularly bad at this. And the funny thing is, I can't stand when someone does it to me. You know, I've been going through something. I'm experiencing this. As an adult, I'm going through things unique to me, and I feel what I feel, and I need empathy. But man, I get turned off when someone takes an opportunity for me to share about me, and they start talking all about them. That's hard, and it kills. It kills conversation. James says, be quick to hear. So don't always insert your connection to it. That's important in empathy, but at some point, you got to understand this. Your selfishness will take empathy and turn it into an opportunity for you to talk all about you. And that doesn't help conversation. Listen. Listen. If it's your kids, one way we do that is we remind them how it was when we were kids. And I got to tell you something. It's a different day. It's a different day. I could walk home from school in the fifth grade through four neighborhoods. I could cross the little creek tunnels under the street. I could walk through the creek tunnels. Me and my friends just carrying on, dropping our books, everything. My mom and dad knew that was probably my path coming home. You know what? They didn't care. I'd stop at Shorty's, the convenience store, on the way home. And I would buy candy that would rot my teeth out. And I'd drink soft drinks and all kinds of stuff that parents today think, whoa. I don't know if I'm... Would you be good with your fifth grader doing things that you did as a fifth grader? I got to say, maybe not. It's a different world. We can't just tell our kids, hey, when I was your age, this is what I did. Part of understanding and listening to our children, even our spouses, is that I want them to share. I want them to share. I don't want to kill the conversation. I don't want to come off as someone that's always going to respond with advice or let me tell you how I dealt with that when I was your age, or would you just stop being an idiot here? I need to get through to you. Stop talking, right? Listen, this is what listening does. Listening is the secret to your child to continue to talk to you. Listening is the secret to future conversations. If I'm a good listener, my child's going to talk to me. If you're a good listener, listen, I know what it's like to have not listened on the front end the way I should. And when my wife is hurting, she will tend to process out loud a little less with me if I'm not a good listener. You'll find this in life. The more we insert ourselves and the less we listen, the more conversations get cut short. And we lose our opportunity to speak into the culture. We lose our opportunity to encourage. We lose our opportunity to share. Turn one place before we close. Turn to Colossians chapter 4, and we'll close with this. We read this where Paul is speaking to Christians, and at this time during the Roman Empire, Christians were being accused literally of being atheists. And not because they didn't believe in God, but because they didn't believe in the emperor. And to side with God and not to believe the emperor was final authority, that was like super condemnable. This was something that shouldn't happen. And yet Christians were feeling the pushback. They were accused of being not only atheist against the emperor, but also unpatriotic. They wouldn't burn incense at the emperor. When he passed by, they just were accused of being out of step. Does that sound familiar? I think we live in that world today. If you're not a tolerant person, how can you call yourself a Christian? If you can't embrace all lifestyle choices, how can you say that you follow Jesus who said, turn the other cheek and love your enemies? Right? That's what the world goes after tolerance and wants to kick us down as Christians for where we hold our lines. And this was happening in Corinth. All these accusations are coming against Christians. And look at Paul's words, chapter 4, look at verse 5. He says, walk in wisdom toward outsiders. Make the best use of time. Look at verse 6. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. How you speak to people that are outside of the faith. The human reaction is to look at things that the lifestyle choices, the behaviors in the world, we're going to be clear on this in this church. there are lifestyle choices that God hates with a passion. He doesn't hate the sinner. God is compassionate and redemptive. He wants to draw out of every person his intended purpose, his original purpose, that they might walk in relationship with him. He's done that through Jesus Christ, but every choice outside of his revelation that is toward what we call today an alternative lifestyle, that is actually what the Bible condemns as homosexuality or lesbian behavior, any kind of behavior, God's not happy with that behavior. But anger, on my part, doesn't solve anything. If I want to engage the culture, I can't withdraw from the culture. I can't pull myself into the treehouse that says Christian Life Assembly and pull the ladder up. God calls us to engage the culture. Paul says, the way that you know how to answer each person, so that you'll live a life where you walk in wisdom toward outsiders. Let your speech be gracious. Let it be seasoned. Sometimes that seasoning has some flavor to it. I mean, it's creative. It's powerful. But it's always gracious. It always comes with truth, but it's always done in grace. And I don't want to offend anybody today. If you turned off the NFL because of the whole flag issue, hey, that's something you feel powerfully about, and I wouldn't say that's wrong. If you didn't shop at Target for the last couple of years, listen, I get it, all right? But God doesn't want us to withdraw from culture. God wants us positioned so that we can speak to culture. And the way that we learn to speak to the people that don't agree with us is to first give the opportunity for them to speak to us. Not that I embrace their lifestyle, but because I see that God has opened a door for us to speak life. And that can happen inside deep relationship you have with people, healthy relationship, or even outside. We're going to hear in this series how we talk to outsiders. But it all starts first with opening the doors of communication by being a good listener. And I know this has been a cerebral message today, but I want you to bow your heads for a moment. And I want you to think about the very first question that was asked this morning. How well do I listen? How well do I listen? Not only does God want your life to be a channel of his grace, but he wants us to be people that pause at giving quick, pithy answers without really taking in what's happening. Sometimes the issues that are happening in family are not always the real issue. And it takes patience. Patience, listening. And even God says that in relationship to him, that we're to be still and know that he's God. Seven different churches in the book of Revelation, and every time that Jesus spoke to those churches, it always came with this condition: he who has ears, let him hear. So I'd like to take this time for this moment in this service. Would you ask the Holy Spirit to help you be a better listener? A person that lives their life in wisdom because they took the time to listen to what was being said. I feel like maybe in this moment the Holy Spirit has been touching on some areas where if you rated yourself a lot lower than you hoped to, Maybe that's the place where the Holy Spirit is saying, I want you to work in this area. Listen, listen more. Listen more to your spouse. Listen more to your child. Maybe the Lord is saying, I want you to listen more to the people around you where you work. You know, you're kind of disconnected. I want you to pause, take time, and listen more. Lord, as much as I pray for the release of spirit fullness in the body of Christ, what I realize that a lot of decisions that we have to make, Father, they always seem to have to do with our responsibility to respond to your word. And I pray, Lord God, that in this room there would be the maturity, the heart of a father or a mother that wants to do better, relating to one another, relating to their children. Help us, Lord, whatever area that you're touching today in our lives. Help us to be better listeners. We love you, Lord. We hear your word. And we want to obey. We want to be channels of life in the home. We want to be channels of life where we live and work. We want to be channels of life. Even in a world where the lights are going out, we want to continue to be your voice of revelation and truth. Help us to speak more effectively. Pray, God, that you'd help any issues of anger or resentment or bitterness to be overcome today by your grace and your mercy in us. Jesus, we thank you for it. I'd like us to stand. The song that we sang earlier in worship today, would you just begin to lift your voice to the Lord? This is a way of consecration. I am yours, Lord. I am yours. Let that be our simple prayer this morning. Lord Jesus, I'm yours.